Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
I'm confident we're going to be prepared to play. We're going to go into every game believing we can win. And we're going to have a lot of young players excited to see develop. And we have a chance to be part of that core you're talking
it's
about.
It's time for the Ben Cherington Show. Every Sunday on the Pirates Radio Network. For all Pirates breaking news updates and information, as well as a chance to win exclusive prizes, follow the Pirates on Twitter, @Pirates to Snapchat. Like us on Facebook at Facebook.com/Pirates. And on Instagram at Pittsburgh Pirates. Find out more at Pittsburgh.com/connect. It's the Ben Cherington Show. Every Sunday on the Pirates Radio Network.
Welcome you to our first installment of the Ben Cherington Show. The Pirates general manager joining us, we believe, from Wrigley Field in Chicago. Greg Brown with you as the Pirates get ready to take on the Chicago Cubs in the rubber match of this three-game series. Happy Easter to you. Happy Easter, Ben. And about half an hour ago, we got good news from Derek Shelton, the Pirates skipper, telling members of the media that Key Brian Hayes would avoid the injured list, a bruised left wrist. But moments ago, back on a Zoom call and tells us that now he is going to land on the IL for 10 days. Tell us the extent, if you would, of the injury to Key Brian Hayes.
Yeah, well, he's sore today, and you know, he's got a wrist strain, and you know, we think the prognosis is really quite good. You know, does not appear to be any fracture or any soft tissue damage, but he's sore and there's some inflammation, and we wanted to give him a chance to do a little bit baseball today, you know, play catch and pick up a bat, and you know, just sore enough where we felt like the right thing was to put him on the AL. Obviously, Key's really important to us. We don't want to be in a position where he feels like he needs to rush back. It would probably be a few days, and we don't want the team to have to play short during that time. So, went ahead with that decision. You know, all the tests look good, and we just gotta you know, get that inflammation out of there and feel better, and then ramp up his activity again. So obviously we'll miss him. He's an important part of the team, but gives Wilmer Defoe a chance to get on our active roster now, and look forward to playing a game today.
Ben, how discouraged was Key Brian Hayes to learn that he was going to end up on the IL?
Well, you know, I think he's discouraged to feel the soreness yesterday and have to come out of the game. He loves to play. I think by the time we talked here in the clubhouse 45 minutes ago, he understood that was probably the right decision. You know, in addition to being a really talented player, he's a good teammate. He doesn't want the team to play short. You know, we were through last night and this morning hoping that maybe we could take it a day at a time for a couple of days and see if there was more rapid improvement and avoid an IL. But just given the way he felt this morning, even though we really feel the prognosis is good in the long term, you know, we felt we had to make that decision. So he understood that, and you know, he'll focus on getting right and getting out there as soon as he can. And in the meantime, you know, Defoe will be on the active roster, as I said.
Ben, is there a way to explain exactly what happened, how he got hurt?
Well, it was on a swing. He fouled the ball off, and just, you know, it was a little bit of an awkward swing where his left hand, his bottom would be the bottom hand, and his swing just kind of rolled over funny, and you know, felt soreness, felt something in his hand and wrist on that swing, and obviously finished the at bat, and then got to first base and got checked out. And, you know, he obviously wanted to stay in the game. He did stay in the game. for a little bit, but before his next at-bat, just didn't feel like he could swing the bat at a good enough level, so we took him out at that point. You know, and again, it, you know, all the tests look negative. Prognosis is good, but we got to let that risk calm down a little bit and let him feel good. You know, obviously how important hands and wrists are to a hitter, and we want him to get out there when he's feeling right.
Ben, you mentioned Wilmer Defoe now will be activated. A couple things. First of all, he was a member of the taxi squad, five players on that taxi squad traveling with the team. So was that kind of a no-brainer that it would be Defoe, and you still have to make another move, don't you?
Well, we'll need to make a 40-man roster move before the game that we're working through now. We felt like given all the information we have, and starting with our belief right now that this, you know, should be a relatively short-term IL stay for Key, that's certainly our hope. Based on the fact that Defoe is here, had a good spring training, is really versatile, was already with the team in Chicago on the taxi squad, obviously has major league experience and can do a lot of things on the field. This will give an opportunity. I think, Phil Evans, obviously, will see some time at third base. Eric Gonzalez, Defoe himself can play there. So it gives Shelty, you know, just some additional options off the bench. And we felt like Wilmer was the right guy, and looking forward to seeing him out there.
The reason I ask about a no-brainer, because this is kind of an odd situation. You're on the road. It's the opening series. You've got the five-man taxi squad. You've got Defoe, who can play a number of positions. But you also just re-signed Todd Frazier, who's with the team right now at the alternate training site. They were working out at PNC Park yesterday. I assume they will today. So was that ever a consideration, figuring in Todd Frazier, obviously, his veteran status as a third baseman?
Well, again, I think the emphasis there is that, you know, our belief right now is that, and certainly our hope is that this hopefully is a short stay on the IL for Key. And if that's the case, obviously he's going to be back and, you know, playing third base every day, hopefully not too long from now. If it looked like a much longer stay, then, you know, maybe there would have been other considerations. But given what we know right now about Key, we're looking at hopefully a shorter term situation, and so we chose to add the versatility. And then, in addition, as you said, Defoe's here; he's already on the taxi squad. It would have been impossible to get someone from the alt site here today because they would have to go through intake and all that in isolation. So that's what the taxi squad's for. You know, that's why we bring five players on the road. And again, Wilmer's had a really good spring training, and we're happy to add him to the team.
Ben, how tough will it be to have to take someone off that 40-man to get Defoe on it?
Well, I think the good news is that those decisions are getting harder and harder, and that's sort of what you want. You know, if 40-man decisions are easy, it means that, you're not as deep as you want to be. And I know I've talked about that a lot, just the importance of building as deep a roster as we possibly can. I do think we're getting to the point where, yeah, those decisions get harder. But that's part of it. You know, every team's playing by the same rules, and these things happen. You know, injuries happen, and you have to add a player, and someone's got to come off, and so we'll need to do that today before the game.
And today you've reinstated Kyle Crick to be part of the bullpen, and you optioned Will Crow. Was that a tough call?
Certainly we're happy to, you know, have Kyle back. Kyle got to experience the birth of his first child. And so as part of coming back to the team, obviously he's got to test and go through intake. And so that's the reason he wasn't active here the first couple days. And so we're, you know, happy to have him back on the team. And in Crow's case, we see Will Crow as a starting pitcher and someone who's going to have a chance to make some starts for us this year and compete for starts. And so we really want to make sure that he's continued to stretch out and pitching on a starter schedule. He made the team in part because we knew Kyle Crick would be absent. But this gives us a chance to get Will back with our outside group, get him back into the starter schedule, make sure we get that pitch count built back up, so that he's a starting pitching option for us before too long.
Let's step aside right now, allow our stations to identify themselves. We remind you, some tickets available for the opening weekend of the home schedule. Next Saturday night, next Sunday afternoon, the Pirates will host the Chicago Cubs before they welcome in the San Diego Padres for four. Go to pirates.com/tickets. We step aside now on the Pirates Radio Network. Welcome back. Greg Brown with you, and we are in Pittsburgh in Chicago at Wrigley Field. Ben Cherington, the first program of the 2021 season. Ben, before we get back to talking about your ball club, what's it like? Tell us, because we're anxious for the home opener on Thursday, and then we mentioned the Cubs are in next weekend and the Padres for the first home series at PNC Park. But what's it like to kind of witness fans back at a regular season game?
Boy, it really makes a difference. And, you know, it's just not something I'll ever take for granted again. And, you know, we're really, really excited to see our fans at PNC for the opener. I know our players and staff are. You know, it's funny. I had never been to Wrigley Field until last summer. And, of course, I was here last summer, but there were no fans here. So it was a strange way to experience Wrigley Field for the first time without any fans. And I have to say, yesterday, the opener was really cold, but yesterday it was a beautiful day here. I actually sat out in the seats for a little bit. And, you know, you really just, you know, you appreciate and remind yourself not to take for granted what it is like to be in a great baseball park on a nice day with fans in it. And can't wait to have that feeling at PNC. I know our players and staff feel the same way.
Ben, that is wild that's the last year was the first time you were at Wrigley. That's crazy.
Well, it's nobody believed me last year. I've been to Chicago plenty of times, and I've run by Wrigley Field, but last year was the first time I was inside it.
Well, how do you compare? I mean, of course, you were with that iconic franchise, the historic Fenway Park. How do you compare the two?
Well, they're very similar. I mean, you know, you've been to both, and you walk down underneath in the concourse area the way it's built and the columns, and, you know, you're sort of walking through a maze, and then the way the seats are constructed and just sort of the feel around the ballpark. Really a lot of similarities. I'll say this, and again, I can't wait to see it with fans in it, but, you know, there's no better place than PNC, so we've got the right one in Pittsburgh.
Hear, hear. We're talking to Pirates General Manager Ben Cherington, his first show of the season, so a lot of ground to cover in a short amount of time. Tell us about what you saw from Luis Oviedo, the Rule 5 pick. You made the deal with the Mets. And was there any doubt really over the winter that he was going to start the year on the active roster, Ben?
Well, I think when you take someone in the Rule 5, and we took we acquired two players to the Rule 5 this year in Oviedo and Jose Soriano, who's still down in Bradenton. Certainly the hope is that they end up on your roster, and you hope that they do enough to warrant that, because if they do that and if you can carry them, then, you know, that's the way you keep them, and you only take guys if you feel strongly about their talent. So we were certainly hoping that he would do enough in spring training to warrant being on the team. And then, of course, he got a late start through no fault of his own. He was stuck in visa purgatory coming out of Venezuela, so he was late to get going. Only had a handful of outings, and really encouraged just how much better he got each outing in spring training. Stuff kept getting better, strikes kept getting better, and then yesterday seemed just like a continuation of that. So it was encouraging. Stuff looked really good. He looked comfortable on the mound, threw strikes. You know, he's a very young, talented pitcher who is still developing, and, you know, will certainly has things to learn. And but we're excited to, you know, have him on the team, and I look forward to seeing him again out there. And And Soriano is also doing really well, obviously still rehabbing from the Tommy John surgery that he had about a year ago now, but he's well into his mound progression, you know, looks good throwing off a mound, and we'll be bringing him through a progression where he faces hitters and eventually into games.
Ben, when it comes to a guy like Oviedo specifically and Rule 5 pitchers, oftentimes teams will try to almost hide them or bring them in situations where it's not critical. But could you see Oviedo maybe gradually getting into kind of higher level situations where you know you're not hiding him, you actually need him to get outs?
Well, yeah, I think, you know, I think, as you know, Greg, and we've talked about, you know, where we are with our pitching, and we're going to need everybody to pitch, and, you know, really do feel that way. And we're carrying 14 pitchers now, and I'm sure we'll use more than that over the course of the season. So I think everybody out there has an opportunity to earn more trusted innings, and certainly he has the talent to do that. So we'll see how that goes. Really been encouraged by our pitching generally through the first two games. You know, I thought, you know, obviously the bullpen did an incredible job in game one coming in after Chad Kuhl was really competed through those first three innings, kept us in a game, and then bullpen came in and shut the rest of the game down. And then yesterday, you know, I was personally really encouraged by what Tyler Anderson did on a tough day to pitch. You know, sun game, wind blown out at Wrigley against a good lineup. We talk about playing the course. That was a tough course to play yesterday, and he made a lot of good pitches to keep us in the game, give us a chance. And then certainly encouraged to see the guys that, you know, some of the guys out of bullpen, in particular Oviedo at the end. So overall encouraged by the pitching so far, and you know, just hope that continues to be a really competitive situation where Oviedo, but everyone else down there, has a chance to earn more trust and earn more leverage opportunities.
And speaking of Tyler Anderson, seven strikeouts, five innings, three runs, as you said, he was impressive. Ben, I guess he lines up then for the home opener, doesn't he?
That's the way the calendar looks now, and you know, we'd be excited to see him out there on that day.
All right, we'll continue with Pirates General Manager Ben Cherington as the Pirates and Cubs are meeting at Wrigley Field. More of the Ben Cherington Show coming up on the Pirates Radio Network. Back with more of the Ben Cherington Show. The Pirates General Manager is at Wrigley Field in Chicago as the Pirates and Cubs meet in the concluding game and rubber match of their opening three-game series on this Easter Sunday before they travel to Cincinnati and back home for the home opener on Thursday. And limited tickets available for next weekend, Saturday night, 6:35, Sunday afternoon, the Pirates and the Cubs before the San Diego Padres come in for four games at PNC Park. Ben, you might have answered the question already, but I'll ask in a different way. What pleased you most about what you saw out of your club in spring training, now that we've wrapped up the spring and you can kind of take a look back at it and we've opened up the regular season, but what were some of the real positives in your mind, what you saw down in Florida?
Well, on the pitching side, you know, we came in, I guess, a couple things. One is that we wanted to take the gains we made last year in terms of development of stuff and how we're using our stuff, and we did make some gains last year on that front and got more swings and misses, more strikeouts. We wanted to take those gains and then also now really work on you know, just improving our control and bringing the walks down and continuing to emphasize pitch usage in the right spots and game planning. And so there's a lot of energy put into that, you know, from our entire pitching group and the pitchers themselves. And along with that, we wanted to see a real competition amongst those group, knowing that we were probably going to break with 14 pitchers, but we know we're going to use a lot more than that as the year goes on. And we wanted to use spring training to identify as much as possible who those pitchers were. So I think we left spring training feeling good about the progress on the field, but also good that that it wasn't just 14 pitchers that we broke camp with that we felt we could trust and rely on over the course of the season. I think that number is certainly higher than 14. We've got pitchers at our alt site group right now who we have a lot of trust in to call up and help us when that opportunity comes up. And so feel good about that. And I think that's played out here through the first two games. On the position player side, I know Shelty's talked a lot about it, but attention to detail in terms of defense and base running. Saw a lot of good things in spring training. We have run into a couple hiccups the first two games on defense and on the bases, so we'll look to continue to focus on that and clean that up. And then aside from that, just looking for good at-bats. And I do think we saw improvements in just the quality of our at-bats during spring training, our swing decisions, quality of contact we were making, and certainly saw that here in game one against a tough pitcher. Walked more than we struck out, put a lot of balls in play, got shut down a little bit yesterday, and so looking forward to seeing the group bounce back today.
Ben, how challenging is it to coordinate that alt training site, and the schedule came out? Give us an overview of what that'll entail.
It's a massive challenge, and thankfully I'm not the one who has to do the work. You know, a lot of other people working really hard to make it happen. But, you know, fortunate, first of all, we were able to work it out to keep that group in Pittsburgh. That was important to us, just to keep some proximity between that group and our major league staff. Really, really appreciate the cooperation and hard work from our own staff at PNC and facility operations, because it is a massive challenge to effectively host two different groups. Never mind, you know, welcoming fans back into the ballpark. So a lot of hard work and flexibility from that group. But then and then also our friends with the Steelers and at Pitt to make those facilities available to us for April. So our hope is that, you know, once we get to May, we will see our minor league season start, and we'll get back to baseball in Indianapolis and Altoona and other places. But for now, we're going to make the most out of it. And we do have games scheduled for that alt-site group, in fact, coming up here tomorrow in Columbus. The group will be in Columbus to play three games tomorrow, Tuesday and Wednesday, against the Indians alt-site group. And then we'll have another stretch of games later on in April. So they will be playing games to stay sharp, and that's a big step compared to last year. And then, you know, the other thing is we're happy that Altoona gets a chance to, you know, the prepare for their season and not have to spend, you know, quite as much time worrying about the alt-site group. So it worked out all the way around, and just really appreciate everyone's real hard work and flexibility on it.
So Ben, how are you using then the Steelers and Pitt's sites? What does that entail?
Yeah, so the Steelers are really, really just using it as a clubhouse or a locker room space and a weight room space and a training space. So that would be the space that our players would effectively, you know, get ready to go to work every day, because we obviously can't share the clubhouse space at PNC for protocol reasons. So we need some private changing and treatment area and workout area. So we'll use that there. And then on days where the team's on the road, that alt-site group can obviously work out at PNC because our major league team won't be there. On days that our major league team is home, we'll have access to University of Pittsburgh, and we'll be working around their baseball team schedule, and we really, really appreciate their willingness to accommodate that. And then, as I said, we'll have some games mixed into that over the course of April too.
A little bit surprising that Cole Tucker isn't part of the alt-site group, or was that also all part of the plan?
Well, you know, I think credit to him and our group. When he was optioned, you know, really just started looking at, hey, let's think about how do we get the most we can out of 2021, and let's worry more about that and less about where we are on April 3rd. And so as soon as he was optioned, and he missed a little time in big league camp dealing with a thumb bruise. But once he was past that, he got optioned, and he just dove into some work that he just got excited about, stuff he's been working on, particularly in his offensive game. And as we got towards the end of spring training, together with him, and he was certainly a part of the conversation. We decided that based on the work he was doing, that it was just going to be easier for him to continue that for at least a little while in Bradenton. And we've got a similar situation with Jared Oliva, who's also still in Bradenton. And of course, at some point, we want those guys to be playing games and expect that they will be. But they got a little extra time in Bradenton to continue to work on some things they started working on this March. And, I personally appreciate their perspective on that and really prioritizing improvement over being, in any specific geographic location, here at the beginning of April.
All right, we'll finish things up with Pirates General Manager Ben Cherington. We continue here on the Pirates Radio Network. I think we've reconnected with Ben now with about a minute left. Ben, we asked about Mitch Keller getting the start today on his birthday. He did not start opening day at Wrigley on Thursday. He will not start the home opener. We were wondering, was that kind of intentional, maybe to take a little pressure, take the load off of Keller so he doesn't think that he's got to carry the burden of the starting staff on his shoulder?
Well, before I answer that, let me first say, when I was put on hold and I was listening to Biggie Smalls, so I just thought maybe that was your playlist, Brownie.
Well, that's the kind of entertainment we provide.
Your iPhone, Brownie. I don't think any particular intent on avoiding anything with Mitch. I think it's just the way it lined up coming out of spring training and looking forward to seeing Mitch out there today. He's, we saw some good things towards the end of March there. Last couple outings in the spring. Obviously, the key with him is just attacking the strike zone. He's got really good stuff. He's working hard, and so looking forward to seeing him carry out there today.
We'll let you go. You can listen to Biggie. We'll let you go now. Ben, thanks so much.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Ben Cherington Show comes your way every Sunday, and coming up in just a moment, we'll hear the pregame show, and then the Pirates and the Cubs. It's Block and Rock. Joe Block and John Wehner will have it for you. That is coming up in just a moment. Our thanks to Cale Berger, producing at our flagship station, and our thanks to Doran Check. He is directing things here in Pittsburgh as the Pirates and Cubs meet at Wrigley Field on Easter Sunday. Zach Davies for Chicago. Mitch Keller starts for the Bucks in the rubber match of this three-game series. Coming up next, it's Block and Rock here on the Pirates Radio Network.
Starting.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.